Welcome to the November 17th, 2021 meeting of the Lyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes to go into executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and to look at all the exhibits that are offered. If the board votes to go into executive session, the reasons for staying shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you're having difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded for YouTube. In each instance, the burden is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works from a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in following order. 7 p.m., there are no appointments this evening. Discuss and vote on administrative procedures and revised bylaws. Review and approve minutes. Discuss amending the zoning ordinance, new business, and open issues.
Didn't we vote at the last meeting to do the bylaws? Here's the original of the bylaws. If you want to sign it. I made copies for everybody except for this one page, and I can make that right afterwards and give you your own copy. Mm-hmm. And give the original to Patty for the files and a copy to Patty also.
Yours is shiny.
Oh, wait a second. I did change one thing. Wait a second. Before you sign it, let me mention one thing. I put in the... as an attachment 3, which I have a copy for each person, the standard opening remarks, etc. I added one little statement at the bottom. I said, thank you in advance for your cooperation. Hope nobody is offended by that. That was where we tell the people, this is a public proceeding, blah, blah, blah. You first ask to state your name and address, blah, blah. And I said, I thought that as I was typing it up, fixing it up, I said, I wanted to add that one little statement, so I hope nobody has an objection to that.
Not at all.
Anyway. Okay, so that's it. So that's, you got the original there. And
yeah, that's just for the public hearing.
Yes, just for the public hearing, not for the, not for the planning board.
Is everybody good with that?
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll make a motion to sign them as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Get your cover right.
Okay.
Now, did everybody get to read the November 3rd, 2021 meeting minutes?
Yes. I'll make a motion to accept the November 3rd meeting minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Any specifics on the zone ordinance you want to start with?
Sure. I wrote up a... ready to talk about the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. I wrote up just a... it's a four-page memo, but it's just a start. It's a draft. And the reason for doing this was to try to just state what our priorities ought to be for reviewing the Lyman zoning ordinances, which I just call the LZOs.
Okay.
And so I came up with four things, four priorities, and I'm not hung up on, you know, which one is one, two, three, or four. I tried to be what I thought was logical, and that's why, the reason I wrote it down was rather than, was to try to give a little more structure to how we would look at these changes. I mean the changes that we assume we're going to have. We know we're going to have some. So the first priority was just known issues. In other words, anything that we know that, and I only listed four of them, and again, I'm not hung up on those either. But things that we already know that we're going to have to change or at least look at whether we want to change or not. And then the second area was any changes recommended by town officials and committees and the public. And some of those might be in the strategies, which I'll get to in a second. And we did get, on the back page, that we got. I listed just three changes that I know of. And one was from the ZBA, which talked about principal structures, et cetera. And then a couple others, which I'm not sure saying they necessarily need to be a change or not. But anyhow, I just listed them because I had them in my notes. And then the third thing, which I don't have any input on because we haven't done it, is any changes that we might come up with if we decide to hold workshops to look at various sections of the LZOs. We could come up with changes there. And then the fourth one, would maybe the fourth should have been the third, I don't know. But we got, the planning board has 20 strategies. They call it strategies in the Lyman Comprehensive Plan, which I think Patty gave everybody a copy of last meeting. And I just typed those out. I hope I typed them out right. But that's what the last part of this is. The last couple of pages really is just a retype with a couple of comments that I had. The comments I have are in black. Bold. That so we have 20 of those, and a couple of them I think we have actually taken care of. But my opinion is that some of these are pretty broad, so that it's not a quick fix because they would require maybe getting more data or just really, you know, it's like I think one's on affordable housing. I think there's one of those in there. So that's the sound. Everybody's in favor of affordable housing, but then what do you do to make that, you know, is there a single fix? Or do you have to have a new section, a new ordinance, or not a new ordinance, but a new section of the zoning ordinance? Or you know, what do you do for that? So that's sort of like a broad topic. But some of them are a little more, maybe a little bit more specific that we could accomplish.
Well, I think... it's kind of different now because affordable housing used to be pretty much a trailer park.
Right.
And now it's a little different with the stuff you can get to live in, I mean.
Yeah. And we do have, we have two overlay districts for trailer parks?
Yes, we do.
In the town, but we don't have, otherwise, in other words, do we want to, we want to look at changing something to allow for, you know, 6-unit housing or 10-unit housing, or we don't have anything in the ordinance that I know of that addresses that.
It limits.
At the current time. So I'm saying that's a sort of a little broader issue, if, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah,
I just listed all those, and a couple of them I thought were already covered or not, but, and I'm not, again, I'm not saying that I'm right, I'm just saying these are my comments, but the only reason I wrote this up again was to try to say, okay, let's decide how we want to proceed and take the easiest, the stuff that we know we got to fix, and fix that first. Or when I say fix it, I mean come up with a change and go through the process of getting it on the ballot. And then if people voted down, they voted down. If it doesn't pass, at least we can say, well, we made an effort to allow the townspeople to vote on it. And, I mean, that's where I'm coming from on that. I'm not hung up on one word or the other in here, or even the list of priorities. So, does anybody, you know, maybe you want to take it and read it? I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to give a start, that's all.
Yep.
It's a great start, Tom. Mm-hmm. It's giving us some direction here.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sort of, you know, I like to see, if possible, a list, if we have a list, and then work our way down the list. And but I don't see how, I mean, if we're going to try to get something to the voters, I'm not sure. I think we can go to the voters. Depends on how you read the ordinance. It says annual town meeting or something. Or it's just, there's words in there about amendments. So the question is, I think you can go to any election, but we have in the past. I thought originally you could only go to the meeting in June, but frankly, I don't like the meeting in June because we don't get enough people to vote.
Right.
Next November, my gosh, I bet you we're going to have tons of people voting.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It'd be a good time to get some of this stuff if we could. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't get it all, we get parts of it and get it into articles and let people decide if they want it or don't want it.
Right.
So, and
but the improvement of our social media and our electronic communication with the town too, between the website and, you know, the Facebook page or whatever, I think that more people are getting access to this information early on.
Yeah.
And we may have a better turnout. If people know about it, you know, if they don't know about it, they
won't come.
They won't come.
Yeah. No, I think
and the reaction will be, I mean, when they need something and they go to the ordinance, they won't be happy.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you find something, you're trying to do something, or even that the people that want to split a lot or something, they find they're in the wrong zone. You know, I think I put something in there. I dreamt up something about, is there any way to, right now, I don't know of any way to grant exemptions to parts of the ordinance. Maybe that's possible going through an article, but I don't know that I don't think it's written in there anywhere.
Right.
So
we have the equivalent of equivalent of contract zoning for.
But for an individual. So right now,
For a residence.
Yeah. Or. So anyhow, this is just my two cents on and. Where we want to go with this, I'll leave it up to everybody to think about. Tell me or tell you or tell Rod. And that's all there is.
And you got a proposed protocol for ordinance review?
Yeah, there were some questions. I got involved with a email string with a couple of members of the ordinance review committee, and it just seemed like there. We didn't have a way of working. To my knowledge, we haven't done much with the ordinance review committee. I don't think that they were fully staffed for a while. I'm not positive on that, but they're appointed. I believe they're appointed members. I think they're appointed members like we are. Planning board is. And anyway, so. I dug into my archives and found this protocol, but it was from August of 2012. Hmm. And I don't know whether it was ever. I didn't go hunting through old minutes of meetings because I think I haven't been keeping minutes of planning board meetings. I was keeping one from the fire commission. I kept every set of minutes, et cetera. I ended up with 8 years of paper. And I said, I can't do that because I'm running out of. I mean,
need a room in addition to your house.
Yeah. I mean, plus I can't find the one I'm looking for. So I haven't gone trying to go through minutes. So I don't know whether this was ever approved or not. And I don't know that I'm sure it would need to be reviewed and touched up. But basically, the way I see it is that both the planning board and the ordinance review committee work for the board of selectmen, and work for the town really, but through the board of selectmen. And the there's got to be some way to coordinate their functions, and this sort of gives a this really, as I remember, I took a quick look at it, and I think it was more the selectmen decide what they how they want the ordinances to be reviewed. I mean, I don't know that we don't necessarily work together, but they're two separate they're two separate committees, or I mean, the planning board and the ordinance review are two separate functions, really. But and it could go where they would recommend something, or definitely if the planning board recommended something, I would assume the ordinance review committee would review it. But anyhow, you can read all these words; it's probably too many. But and there's some references to the Maine Statute 30A at the bottom, which gives, and I'm not even sure that's still current because I didn't go look it up again. Again, I just reprinted this. I didn't try to change it or anything.
I would think that would not change.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know whether we want to, how we want to proceed on this. Because,
it would be nice to have access to an archive of all the planning board minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if they're in the files.
The town clerk has a copy of all the original planning board minutes.
Okay. Right, paper though, right?
I mean,
everything's paper?
You know, I would think for at least the past 10 years that the file, that these documents would be in a Word document. It's filed, you know, stored somewhere.
They are on the server.
They are on the server, okay. But we don't have access to that.
Right.
Oh, the town server?
Yep.
The approved ones or what?
No, just the draft ones.
Yeah.
Unsigned on the server. And then once they sign, they go to the town clerk.
Oh, okay.
But they remain on the server. The final version would
yep.
remain on the server. I mean, it would make sense to have an electronic archive of all of that.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, a lot of towns must be going electronic. I don't know.
I would think so, yeah, right.
So, but anyhow, so I just dredged this up out of my Word file that I had divided up into different topics, I mean, under planning board, and it popped out, so I regurgitated it, or resurrected, it's probably a better word. maybe not.
It'd be nice to know if this was signed and is still operational.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if it is, looking at the protocol, point one is just saying that we all work together, selecting ordinance review committee and ourselves, but two, the board of selectmen shall provide written documentation direction to the ORC to review a proposed existing ordinance or changes and possible implementation for the town hall for the town of Lyman. So where do we come in?
I guess we
have to propose to or well, we propose
yeah.
to the selectmen. We then refer to the ordinance review committee.
Well,
also then, you know, we, according to this, appear in step three.
Interesting.
Reviews a copy to the board of selectmen and gives that to us and the selectmen. We review that. But if we have proposed it, and they haven't changed it, it kind of seems a little circular.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
no.
That's why this may not be, I mean, this might need to be,
yeah, step one, is this operational? Is this in force?
Yeah, I don't know. I found this, so I thought it was interesting. It was sort of a framework, but it may not be the right framework. You know, it may be, obviously, it need to be reviewed and updated.
It seems to me of initiation of any proposed changes to the ordinance, there might cursory reading of this will have to start with the ordinance review committee, not us.
Not us.
That's not the way it's been happening.
No, because we work with the ordinance all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not the way the zoning ordinance reads.
So there's, again, this probably needs to be, I don't know whether this was approved. Again, it said, I couldn't find an approved copy, so it sank of its own weight or something, you know, it didn't get through.
Also, number four, selectmen will schedule a workshop with the ORC to review the proposed non-zoning ordinances if deemed necessary. I don't understand that.
Well,
what is a non-zoning ordinance?
Parking ordinance. There's a
parking ordinance. Yeah, the standards, the subdivision standards?
No, the winter parking ordinance. There's a parking ordinance.
Oh.
Those are non-zoning ordinances.
I see, okay.
Yeah. There are not too many.
The dog barking ordinance. There is a few, yep.
Okay, and then it had the planning board will schedule a workshop to propose zoning ordinances if deemed necessary.
Are those on the website, those non-zoning ordinances? Because I've never seen that before.
Some of them might be.
They should be out there. Yeah.
I'd have to look, to be sure.
Well, what do we want to do anything with this, or, I mean, I'm not sure, do we want to...
I don't know if it was ever signed into fruition or not, I mean...
Do we have any... let me put this properly, I guess. If we assume we start doing workshops, mm-hmm. if members of the Ordinance Review Committee want to... be here, they could certainly offer their comments. But
I think if we're going to do the zoning workshops, we should invite them.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
We should all work together.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be... I think it would make sense
because we work with that.
Otherwise we'll waste time. We don't want to go back and forth. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
No.
Which I think is what happened with the farming and agriculture change.
It was
way
a big
back.
Months. It was
right, back and forth, and I think that's how this came about.
Ah.
Oh boy.
Was that the number of pigs and
Yes.
Oh my god.
Chickens, and horses, and
bells.
Oh gosh, yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm. I really think the best way around it though is, like I said, when we start that, to invite them to meetings and all work together.
Would it be worthwhile to ask the town clerk to see if there's a copy someplace of this signed, or that would be?
I think so. You got the date right there.
Yeah, I mean the date's on
right.
It.
And the other thing is, I noticed it said revised, and revised would indicate that maybe there was something.
There was one before that, right?
But I didn't find one an original. You know, an approved mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
good. Well, anyway, there's so. That's right.
And like the selectmen don't work with the ordinance so much, and they only see a problem if something's brought before them.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and I don't think it's fair to assume they would either, because it takes the ordinance is I'm sure it certainly isn't perfect, but it takes a long time to make sure you sort of understand what it's talking about. Even then, we get into discussions about. You know, number of buildings and all this other stuff.
Right, interpretation.
And it goes into issues. So, anyway. Do we want to try to, I mean, I'll throw this out, do we want to try to start scheduling some workshops?
It's kind of slow now. I mean,
yeah.
I think we should.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move forward. We need to.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I have one. This is an omission in my documents anyway, but the Shoreland Zoning Ordinance copy that I have does not have a table of contents. Do yours have one? And I meant to check on the website this afternoon to see if the electronic copy.
Did you get the new one?
I have the cover page, June 8th, 2021. But there's no.
I have a table of contents.
I mean, and maybe it's a partial. It's one page, so I think maybe
So I've got the table of contents. You thought I've got the old, I got the one before.
Oh, okay.
And it's printed right on the back.
It's on the back of the...
So that's probably why.
If I don't get it to you within a couple days, send me an email to remind me.
Okay.
But I'm making a note to get that to you.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it needed to be double-sided, so I guess that's missing. And then inside the shoreland zoning, too, it says that the ordinance, and amended through June 12, 2018, that date never gets changed.
Oh, was mine?
That needs to be changed every time we do it, make an amendment.
Yeah.
Sorry, what page is that on?
That's on page 3, 4, number 4, and A.
Oh, yeah, I get you. Yeah, okay. Shoreland zone.
Actually, I looked at both of them. I was looking at, I just started looking, comparing, especially in the beginning where it talks about the different districts and all of that, just to see if I, you know, if there were some inconsistencies between what we have now.
Yeah, maybe.
And I already found a couple of things that are missing from the table, the definition table.
Okay.
So I'm just making a list of those things, you know, as I...
Well...
Buying them.
So how do we want to proceed on these things? Do we want to jump in and start...
Known issues?
I don't know. I mean, whatever. I mean, these are the only ones I know of, but there may be others. Mm-hmm. And
Well, you want to make some progress on some of this?
Do you want me to... I have a couple of other issues. I don't know if you want to... Yeah, sure. I mean, is this considered a workshop? Are we going to... Use up some of this.
It's still a meeting. But
we're at a meeting right now.
Okay.
It's okay.
But workshops are meetings.
Right. Yeah. But there again in the this is in the regular zoning ordinance on page 2 of the article 1 on table of contents index. There's 1.8 includes contract zoning.
Oh, yeah. You want to add, 1.83, contract zoning to the under... The
yeah, but I don't know, this is just an opinion, but is that where contract zoning should be? In that, should it be its own 1.9?
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. Standalone.
And if you see it in the way it's... the formatting in the... document is incorrect in that the 1.3 is pushed way over to the left as though it's a major topic, and it's a subtopic under 1.8. So it's not only formatted incorrectly, but...
I'm sorry, I don't see where you are. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, okay.
See, on page 8...
I got you. Yeah, page 8.
Contract zoning is pushed out as a major topic under Article 1.
So make it 1.9?
So, yeah, at least if it was it was 1.9, it would come up, it would show up in the index, too, which would be for people to find. Because I think it's an important section.
Yep.
It's pretty comprehensive.
That thing, we're not changing anything substantive, just...
That's a formatting thing, right? So. Yeah, and we may end up discussing contract zoning too, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Is that something we can vote on for alteration at this point? You know, need the town approval for, I think, just the renumbering the sections.
Yes, I think we had discussed that before, that any kind of formatting or
that's editorial.
Correction, editorial, yeah, does not require.
I'll say reading the wood. What are you going to keep, a list?
Well, these were just little scratch notes that I have, but we should have a list, huh? Yeah. A formal list of where. So that would be.
Do we have a motion that a vote as to whether to renumber that particular section?
We could, okay.
Why not?
Make a motion to renumber the section on Article 1, General. To move contract zoning to section 1.9.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Do we want to get into any of these other known issues or not? I'm asking you guys.
Well, so we have a few more.
I didn't get too far with this, but the other was page.
Is there some editorial things that there?
Yes, it was definition. If I can find my paper here, I have the. It's in here somewhere. Oh. Page.
Definitions are in the back.
Right, but. No, that's not it. On the land use table, bed and bath, bed and breakfast inns, there's a 1 and a 2 on the land use table, and the definitions in the back do not, there's only a bed and breakfast, and so what's, you know, there's no way of knowing what the 1 and the 2, the difference. I don't believe, anyway, unless I'm missing something. So the land use table would be on page. I mean, the definitions are on the last at the end, right? On page 75. It just says bed and breakfast inn. There's no 1 and 2, and the difference between the two is. The second one is not allowed in the residential district. So why, you know? When?
What's the difference?
I'm sorry?
Page 15 is the land use table.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And page 75 is the definition.
Yeah, because before, I know we defined stuff like agriculture 1 and 2.
Yes, yeah, and that one's clearly defined, I think.
So we don't define bed and breakfast 1 and 2?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. This business contractor 1 and 2, we define those as different.
Okay. But we don't have a fix for that right now.
No. So maybe it's defined or explained somewhere else in the ordinance, but I haven't gotten to that far yet.
I don't think so.
No. Make sure that's in.
Okay. So, also, on page 14, number 4.2.2, to provide areas for medium density. How does that define? Do we have a definition for that? I couldn't find a definition. And it's talking about the residential section. So that's page 14.
Yeah.
So oh, it's residential district. And then item 4.2.2 says to provide areas for medium density residential growth. So medium density has no parameters at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. How would you define that?
No, but I don't think we have that as a criteria for anything, do we? Not defined.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because that's a 3-acre minimum lot size as opposed to a 5-acre minimum lot size.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
It could be.
I'm sure it refers to that. It's just that it's a vague adjective, you know, medium density. Do we have a low density neighborhood or do we have a high density? We don't. I mean, this is the highest density that we, I think,
except
logically.
Overlays.
Yeah.
And
oh, the overlays, right.
40 is a 1-acre minimum lot size. But that's
the
not in this ordinance anyway.
Right.
No, that's a good idea. No, that maybe that.
I'm just pointing, yeah, we don't have to change it. I was just pointing that out.
Do you have any others that you want
to? Yeah, I think that's. Oh, it says business contractor 1 and 2. It says not clear what is different, so maybe that was business contractor.
Well, there is a definition on page 76 of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not this number of employees. I think.
Yeah. So that's business contractor 1.
I think it's backwards.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like it's backwards, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So one should be limited to 3, and
no, I don't know. I'm not so sure because the difference between in the land use tables is that. Oh wait a minute! Oh, I think you're. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
It's not allowed. Contractor 2, which is less is more restrictive, right? Mm-hmm. It's not allowed in residential where it probably.
The only way, and this is what I think it needs to be clarified, but how I'm interpreting this is that a business contractor with just an office, in other words, his operation is not on site, so he would just have an office. Could be anywhere.
I see.
So he's not doing any business there. It's just his corporate office or whatever. As opposed to the contractor that has employees on site.
No,
I don't know.
I
it, that's why I think it needs to be clarified, because it would be really difficult to interpret. But this could be all over the map, right?
Mm-hmm. Engaged in provision of services off premises. Okay. As an office and equipment material stored on premises. Okay.
It could be defined better, but 2 allows you to have 3 employees, including the owner. Whereas 1, well, it doesn't say 1, basically you don't have any employees, do you?
3, how can you have 3 employees including the owner? That doesn't make sense.
Well,
the owner would not be an employee.
Well, could be. I mean,
so you can have 4 people. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's not, could be worded a little better.
Yeah.
Would it make sense that the larger the enterprise, the more restrictive?
Correct.
So therefore, should that limited to 3 employees, including the owner, be moved into 1, and more than 3 employees be the designation for 2?
I agree with you, Joe. I think I think these should be flipped in a way.
Well,
because it says business. On one, it says it has an office and equipment and materials stored on the premises. Well, that wouldn't make sense to have that in a residential zone.
But it says the services, provision of services are off premises. So, okay, let's take an example. Let's say you have a lawn service. You have a lawn service, you're operating that out of your home. You have all your equipment stored at your house in your garage or something. Mm-hmm. But you're doing the work off site. In other words, the service is done on people's lawns, but you have all your equipment and stored at your home. So, as the way it reads now, that would be okay. You have to do a site review in residential, general purpose, and commercial residential. But in two, says limited to three employees, including the owner. See, that's where it gets a little weird, because then implies that you have three employees, including the owner, that are at the premises. So that's not allowed in residential, but it's okay with site review and the other two zones.
Should the two criteria be whether or not does the business conduct business on the premises, such as maybe auto repair? And the second criteria being how many employees to make a distinction between one and two?
That
would make more sense. But where we may have a problem is where it says provision of a service off premises.
Yeah, auto repair has its own auto repair use.
Right.
In the land use table.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's
separate.
True.
Yeah, automobile sales and service. Well, oh no, automobile.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that
recycling or
would
grading?
Be a business contract, if there's a business right there on the premises.
Provision of service off premises. So an example would be, like you said, landscaping.
Plumber.
Or maybe that cleaning, like that cleaning company on 111, you know, they have a bunch of trucks. They don't do the work there, but they store their materials in their vehicles.
Then again, it goes back to how many employees.
I think the more employees, the more vehicles, the more...
Right.
Materials.
Right.
So again, it seems like two should be pushed up into one, and an enterprise that has an excess of three employees, including the owner, should be more monitored, restricted.
I think it needs to be reworded.
I think so too.
We're having trouble coming up with a
right.
You know, a interpretation.
Yeah, it's the off-premises that one is pretty specific. The number two is too general.
No. Yeah, I think it needs to be reworded.
Mm-hmm. Good catch.
I did find another, going back to the page 14, commercial residential district.
Yeah.
Section 441, it talks about, as recommended in the town of Lyman 2004 comprehensive plan. I think we've updated that. So that's another correction.
Mm-hmm. What is it referring to?
The comprehensive plan, but it's
as recommended, what does it say before that?
Reminding us of Lyman Regional
Commercial. It just gives it.
This district shall abut routes 111-5 and 202 and can be buffered from residential uses.
Okay.
It's the commercial slash residential district. So it's just describing it or giving its purpose.
Is there something comparable in the 2019 version?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we should leave that because I think that's I think that's the comprehensive plan that developed the commercial residential district.
Yeah, I think you're right there because I don't think that's in the current comp.
Right.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's not in the 2019 one.
Okay.
I don't think so. Good.
Okay, so that's true.
For putting it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, actually, we changed the name. Remember, we changed the name after that, though, from commercial to commercial residential. That was after 2000. I think you're right about the comprehensive plan, but then we changed the name from commercial to commercial residential to allow for an issue with homes. People had a concern with that, as I remember. Okay.
So that was changed in a subsequent comprehensive plan, or...?
I'm just thinking the one we have now
doesn't talk about that.
I
okay.
Don't think. Somewhere around here.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. The 2019 comprehensive plan talks about some things, but it doesn't list the I don't see where it talks about the I think it should stay there.
Okay.
Because it provides some context.
It identifies its source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sections sealed?
That's it. That's as far as I got with my my little research.
Well, how do we want to proceed here? I mean, that seems to be the question.
631.
Take a look at that if you want.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
631. It's been kind of sticking out there for a while.
we know what... The other part of that is the definitions, too. Also, I should say. I mean, it's pretty simple. It says, definition of principal use is the use to which the lot is primarily devoted. And I don't know whether that, Kelly had an issue with lot versus site, but I'm not, you know, I don't remember exactly what it was. But, I mean, that's pretty straightforward, I think. An accessory use or structure just says, definition, a use or structure of a nature customarily incidental and subordinate to those of a principal use or structure.
Building.
Right.
Garage. Some sort.
And so right now we have it as written is, we allow, the ordinance allows in the residential district one principal building or one principal use, along with one accessory building or use, is allowed per lot. But the size of the lot refers you to section 6.2, which gives you the amended dimensions. So that means you can only have, does that mean you can only have like a home, you have one home, and then you can have just one garage, or could you have two garages?
Looks like you can only have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is that, I mean,
and does that mean you can only have one garage and no sheds?
Mm. Correct, yeah. Right. Is the shed an exhibit? What's the, so, you know, that's where the, do we, I mean, I don't know why
well,
we...
Well, the problem is it conflicts with another ordinance that says the amount of lot coverage.
Not in the resident.
Not in the residential, yeah. No, but...
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I don't know whether we've ever restricted, you know, if somebody came in for a permit for a shed, and they had a separate garage, then in theory you shouldn't give them a permit for the shed, right?
Right.
I don't know. That doesn't sound very good.
Right. And an accessory building, to me, needs a better definition because, I mean, a garage, you can have electricity in there. Mm-hmm. A shed necessarily is just a storage container, but it's permanent, but still. And to me, I think residential should also be determined by lot coverage. I mean, you would not want to have, in the residential area, a lot covered with stuff, buildings and sheds and stuff like that. You would want it to limit what you can have on it, but... be nice to have some flexibility as to what that would be. A combination of shed and garage or...
See, this is where we're running. That's where we're running the problem. So.
Right. Well, I think it needs to be discussed. Everyone needs to share their opinion on how they think.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe...
I think if you have 3 acres of land... should be able to have a garage and a shed.
And a shed, right.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
That's that's pretty restrictive the way it's worded.
I agree. And if your home was built with a garage attached, well, your problem is solved, but who has that luxury?
I mean, if you put in a pool with a pool.
I was just going to say, is
right.
A pool an accessory structure?
You have a pool and a pool building to get changed in? Or?
Right, a pool, yep.
Well, it does give maximum under residential maximum lot coverage for buildings. It says is 15%. So 15% of 3 acres is a good bit of.
It's still a lot.
Area.
Yeah, it's a bit of area. And yeah. I think accessory building needs to, that's too general a term.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between, a garage and a shed.
But you wouldn't want to say you can only have one accessory building with power. I mean, you wouldn't want to...
No, you don't want to limit
it
that way.
It'd be hard to...
But two sheds? Maybe it should be square footage or,
no.
You know, a maximum square footage?
It gets worse with the next one. Just general purpose.
That's right. That would see even more muddy.
Worse.
Right.
Not worse, but more.
Yeah, it's muddy.
Unclear.
Unclear. That's where we got into problems. Where it's not clear. So is there? Wish we could.
And you really have the same problem with the first one too, because you get the lot coverage 15% on that too.
On what? Commercial.
On no residential.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but is there? I don't know. It's, you know, it just looks like maybe is 15% a good number? I don't know. It sounds okay, but is it 15% of what's 15% of 3 acres? That's a 44,000 square feet in an acre. 15%.
Like 6,000.
10% would be four.
Yeah, per acre, right?
Yeah.
No, for the whole lot.
For the lot.
For the whole lot. That's
a lot
of square footage.
Oh, the total. No, the total square footage is 130,000. It says that must be 3 acres for residential.
Are you in the commercial?
No, I'm talking about residential. So 15%
of 3 acres
of 130,000 is going to be like 20,000 square feet. That's a pretty big house. That's a little larger than my home. I wonder why.
Maximum lot coverage for buildings, right? And when you're going into I think it needs to be have parameter around this by number of acres, because now when you have a 50-acre lot, and if you're allowing 20% of that to be covered with buildings, for Pete's sake, you could have a shopping mall there. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
And I don't think that would be a good idea.
But the problem is that if you... Do you want to penalize somebody with a larger lot? Suppose you had a 5-acre lot versus a 9-acre lot.
Right.
Or a 10-acre lot.
Could we?
Right.
Shopping malls aren't allowed in zones where it's 50 acres, though, I don't think.
Could we?
Well, some of the uses that we have on our table could warrant a multiple, you know, several buildings or whatever. Could be expanded to be quite a large operation.
Right. Yeah, could we kind of connect 631 with 621 in the sense that a one principal building and additional buildings? I don't have any problem with accessory buildings. One principal building and accessory buildings, not to exceed 15% of the lot coverage. So you've got your garage, you've got your shed, maybe sheds plural.
You could really build anything you want.
You can have multiple.
And as long as it's within that 15% footprint.
Well, there may be people that don't like that too, possibly. In other words, if you're driving around, well, of course, then we have subdivision. I'm not sure if the subdivision has restrictions on that, too. Mm-hmm. Some subdivisions have covenants, which might restrict some things, possibly.
Yes, and that would supersede the ordinance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, John, don't you have a restriction in your subdivision? I remember Jackie saying.
We do, and there are some people that are following it, and some people aren't. That's another issue.
I don't mean to make this even more muddier, but we're talking about residential district, principal building, as opposed to using the word dwelling, because it's a residential district.
Right.
What's the difference between a principal building or one principal use?
I suppose you could have, in the residential district, you could have an allowed use from the land use table that would not be a residence. You could have a doctor's office or whatever in the residential section. It wouldn't be a residence, but it would be a principal use.
We have some of those. I know on 35 down here, you may find.
Yes, the chiropractor used to.
A building, that has sort of like a separate little office there.
Right. In that case, if it was a building and an office, that would be two principal uses, right? A residential.
It's a home occupation.
Or a home occupation.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
No.
And there again, the home occupation could warrant another building of its own And so do you need to restrict people? Okay, you have a an office or whatever, a room to do your home occupation, but now you can't have a shed to put your tools in because you've got the, you know, you've already satisfied the accessory building. So,
well, under the definition of home occupation, a business which is compatible with a residential use and which is customarily conducted on or in a residential structure or property, and it gives some other, you know, it doesn't talk about number of buildings there, it just says, you know.
A principal building and one principal use along with one accessory building or use.
So you end up with, well, this is, there's got to be a way to, well, that's why this is, I think this is a, this area is a problem, but I don't know how to easily fix it. Because if you want to just go to land cover, lot coverage just makes it a free-for-all.
Right.
Which I don't know that, that would certainly be a subject of a public hearing, I would think. Obviously, all this would be, but if you just had, I mean, just think how many buildings you could put on, if you, on a residential lot that was 3 acres.
Right.
Because that's like, again, that's like 20,000
right.
square feet. So that's half an acre.
Taxman would love them.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, that's one benefit, but. So maybe we need to individually think about how to define these.
Well,
then discuss it. Have an argument about it.
Yeah, no, I think this had come up before, or it came up during some of these latest things, and it's, you know, it's just not, I think in some ways it's too restrictive, but in other ways I can see why you would want some restrictions, unless you just want to say, you can put whatever you want as long as it doesn't exceed the lot coverage.
The 15%
or whatever. Yeah, or 20% we say, or whatever it is on the other zones.
Right.
And that enables people to pretty much build whatever they want. Which, I mean, if you had a farm again or something like that, and you wanted four barns, and I don't personally see anything wrong with that. Because
if you've got 50
idea.
Acres or whatever,
yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah. But if you don't, if you're a seller.
And there probably should be some, a different definition for agriculture, I would think, too. That.
Why?
Growing an animal care requires, you know, shelter, and to restrict someone to one or two buildings. Same thing with.
Well, agriculture doesn't include animals.
No.
According to
agriculture, right, farming.
Yeah, I think that's under something else, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Must be. I can see how we're going to.
Yeah, does farming includes agriculture, doesn't it? So.
Well, farming is more general. Includes the raising and boarding of livestock and poultry under the definition.
Farming, cultivation of soil for the production or raising of food crops or other valuable use of products, including the raising and boarding of livestock. So farming is inclusive.
Yeah, but agriculture 1 and 2 are not.
Are not, right.
They don't include. They're more for just growing of crops.
Yep.
Does the state have? They must have some restrictions on that for farming and stuff like that, what's allowed and what's not. Is there some, there must be some.
As far as what, the number of buildings?
Not the number, well, no, there's no nothing at all on that.
They have best management practices, which we discussed all of this. And
right.
We did
detail.
Back when we did the...
We went through that whole thing about the number of chickens and all that.
Yeah, all right. And, gosh, and the handling.
You know, going back to 631 on A, I think you would work if you had a reasonable area to cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, 20,000 feet in a 3-acre lot's a lot, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, there's people that... I haven't seen any in Lyman, but maybe there are, but there's people that have, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 square foot homes in some areas, especially if they're on the water or on maybe somewhere.
See, I don't know how they come up with the number.
I don't either.
15 either. I mean, because I would think in on a 3-acre lot, 10% coverage would be a lot, so even 10%.
Yeah,
it's
a lot of coverage. But you got to remember the lots that are an acre in the residential
zone. Oh, that's right. They got small lots too.
And I don't think it just includes buildings, doesn't it include like any kind of?
In the shoreline,
is it like shoreland and includes driveway and?
In shoreland, it is vegetated, 20% non-vegetated, which includes driveways. But I think in the ordinance, the land use ordinance, it says buildings, lot coverage for buildings.
For buildings,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, it does say maximum lot coverage for buildings for each one of the three zones in the regular zoning ordinance. I got it right. No, except for commercial residential. Mm-hmm. That's got a whole bunch of stuff in there. Oh, yeah, commercial residential's got all kinds of stuff in there.
Or principal use, along with accessory buildings.
Yeah, this doesn't take into account for anything that is under 3 acres. It doesn't even mention it in here.
Right.
But there are a lot of lots under 3 acres in the residential.
But they're all grandfather on here.
The point I was trying to make is 10% of a 3-acre lot is a lot. 10% of a 1-acre lot is a lot less.
A lot less, right.
Sure, that's
now you're down to
4,000 square feet. Okay, well.
So we may get some input from other parties on this, right? Maybe other people will have suggestions on how to. I think what we need to do is think about the way it is defined now, you know, where the issues are, where how it can be interpreted in. We want to make sure that if we change it, that it's very clear that we don't have.
Well, we don't want any gray area.
The gray area, yeah.
I think first we need to decide what we want it to say, and then we can.
Yeah, you got to have a proposal.
What do we want, and then try to formulate how to make everybody understand that's what it says.
That's what it says, right?
Yeah. No, I think you're right there.
Principal building. Or principal use, along with accessory buildings, plural, with the maximum lot coverage to be in keeping with 6-2-1. Yeah, well. I think do we not want to have a situation where more than one outbuilding can be placed on this particular parcel of land? You know, shed, garage, home, sheds, plural. So changing at least the one accessory building to pluralize it and refer back to 6-2 in terms of how much of a footprint all the buildings cumulatively cover. Mm-hmm. That's a generous portion of a 3-acre lot.
It is. It's a big amount of coverage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as you were saying, would that be restricted for a 1-acre lot?
Yeah, that's right. On a smaller lot, the 15% restricts them. And they're really...
Well, It restricts them, but it's a smaller lot, but you're still giving them the same percentage-wise as you would a bigger lot, so it's fair.
It's still fair.
I mean, I don't know how you can make it better than being fair.
Right.
I mean.
And then you have someone who has a 10-acre lot in the residential area. 15% of that is a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But the that definition would allow them to have any amount of buildings that they wanted as long as they're within the 15% coverage, right?
See, it's a tough thing because I don't think we can really make it different for somebody with a 1-acre lot or 3-acre lot or 10-acre lot. It all has to be the same.
It all has to be the same, right.
They're all in the same zone.
Right.
Does anybody, I guess it's a very basic question, where did this ordinance come from? We know. Do you know, Patty? This is one we've sort of grown up with.
This is the one that was the we had an ordinance from 76 to 2003, and then it was totally rewritten in 2005.
Were you involved with that? Right. Some, but where did it, do you know where it came from?
Well, this was in the original ordinance.
Yeah. I
don't know where it came from. When I got here, they had the ordinance. Uh-huh. It was in the ordinance.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's got a lot of detail in it.
I don't know if they got it from another city or a bigger city or...
Boy, I tell you, that's where you run into a problem. I mean, you can't start from scratch. But you, by any means, you don't want to do that.
Right.
No, you never do. You never get done.
No. I guess we could check.
But
check
I do agree with Joe. You need to change it to accessory buildings.
Right. But I don't know if we're getting anywhere. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe the concept is to look at this and look for possibly look and see if there's other ordinances that we can take a look at to see if they're any clearer. But we gotta work with the ordinance we have and then try to as much as possible. I would say tweak it or change it where we know there's areas that are not clear, and then go with the change process. Otherwise. Because if you try to rewrite the whole thing, we'll never get anything done.
Yeah, right. No, we can't do that.
We'll spin our wheels for 6 months and come up with nothing.
Yeah. And the issue between principal building and principal use. So, for example, in the residential district, if the husband has a home occupation and the wife has a home occupation, that's three uses, right? A residence and two different uses.
Home occupation is defined as being compatible with the residential use.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a separate use.
That's right.
Distinct. Right. But if it isn't, then really in the residential district, one of them could have a business and the other could not. Because it says one principal building or one principal use.
And the comprehensive plan says to expand upon the home occupation idea because more people are wanting to work from their home now.
Yes.
Right. So we don't want to go in the direction of limiting them more because that's inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. That could be challenged.
Yeah, there's a whole, if you look under that little, I just copied the strategies in the Lyman Comprehensive Plan under land use. There's one about, I think it's item G. It talks about revising zoning ordinances and blah, 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 blah. And it goes on from there. And, It's general, but I mean, you got to have some. If you're going to have a planning board and a site review process and everything. You got to have some specific rules to follow.
Right.
Otherwise, it becomes one of, possibly becomes one of whatever that, you know, if the, some applicant comes in with a nice presentation, they get approved, and somebody comes in with something else, they don't get approved, and that's not the way to do it.
Right.
Should be specific enough so you can say, yeah, you meet the requirements, no, you don't, you got to do this instead.
Right.
Or you have to add this feature or do something else. So, sort of frustrating in a sense.
I'm sorry, I brought this up. I was the one that suggested going to 631 right off the bat.
Yeah, well. I mean, we're only talking about, this is the one item we're talking about. I mean, got to the next bunch of stuff, and there's all kinds of things. We won't spend any more. I don't want to be the. We won't spend any more time on this. At this time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we could all look this up, see if we can find something more specific to what I mean. But
come back.
I think we should. You know, if we're going to start with this one, we should stay on and finish it.
Right.
Next meeting.
This is important because this is one that we had. We've had some issues.
We started it. We'll stay on it. We'll finish it.
Okay. Good point. Because I think Patty is right. If we want to change the ordinance. Then I think the planning board can come up with some wording that we think is better than ask for input, have the public hearing, a workshop, ask for the ordinance review committee or other people to look at it and get their 2 cents.
We picked a difficult one to start with, but
it
really needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. You're right, because it's been giving us problems. It's given a lot of problems. So
I'd say for the next meeting, we'll schedule a workshop unless something comes in.
Okay.
And we'll sat on this, see what we can hammer out on it.
We're going to televise the workshop too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I think we should, yeah.
Absolutely.
It'll basically be on principal uses and trying to solve that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, good. I think it's important.
Is that on Wednesday?
I think so.
I've got to check my brain here.
Is it December 1st?
Yep. And I also saw we had a public notice of intent to file for
this song.
They want to go blow the water line.
What do we have to do about it?
I don't think we do anything. I think it's just main DEP.
That's a requirement of DEP that they... It's just a notice of intent to file an application, and they have to let us know.
Do we have to approve anything, or
no? They have to let us know.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So I got a silly question. When they do something like that, let's say they permit them to go blow the water line, is there a certain depth they can go to?
I don't know.
I'm just.
Yeah.
I think they have to apply for a certain depth.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
But that one in Westbrook is pretty, like 100 and something.
Yeah, because they go down quite far.
Well, how about over here with, who is it? Who's in Dayton? Is Parton Lyman? Is that Shaw Brothers?
Not Shaw Brothers, but Dayton Santa Grand.
Dayton Santa Grand.
Because remember, they're digging, they were scooping out.
Dredger.
And creating a lake.
There's a lake in there now.
He's blasting bedrock out.
Okay. Ooh. Well, what I'm curious about is that the last line of the first paragraph, a public informational meeting will be held at Town Hall.
It was one today.
It was.
One person came.
Oh, I didn't know about it.
5 o'clock, yeah.
Was this publicized? Was this on the...
No, it's not our meeting.
It's about the DEPs? Okay.
No, it was his song's meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, did they publicize it at all? I guess it was on the town website.
They had to advertise it in the newspaper. It's not up to us to advertise it.
No,
right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to...
This is news to us.
That came in on after the last meeting.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because we don't see a date on this.
Yeah.
There's a date on the envelope. It was after the last meeting.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Good. Oh, well.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, I'll make a motion to close the meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Let me make some.